My name is Scott Franklin. I was really glad to get to meet Christopher yesterday. What I did was I wrote down my intro so that I know exactly where it's going to begin and where it's going to end. You don't, but I do. So these aren't my real words. I just wrote them ahead of time. But I'm fascinated by the endless amount of interesting and heroic people that are out there just walking around, working a job, living life, and shopping at Target. My biggest avenue for access to these people's stories is Project Drew. Every veteran I meet through Project Drew is so unique, and whether they were a cook, or they flew a plane in World War II, or they mowed lawns and painted barracks, they all have an epic story. And Christopher further proves this. He didn't get into depth about this, and had we had more time, I would have asked, but there were some very rough things in his childhood that shaped the rest of his life. They laid the foundation for everything that he had to deal with and how all of his experiences would be filtered, responded to, and overcome for the rest of his life. And at first, I'll be honest, I wondered about his truthfulness because here's this man clearly 50 years old, 48, 49, telling me how he's 71. But after I demanded that he show his license, I believe him, he's 71. Then he tells me he played in Nirvana in 1970. And I was going to call Marilyn, but it turned out that that was true as well. He had a band called Nirvana in 1970. So I get my head around that, and he tells me I was also in Aerosmith. And I'm thinking now, man, this is too much. But he was. In about 1972, he was in a band called Aerosmith, and if I remember correctly, A-R-R-O-W. And they had some good success because Aerosmith from Boston had just released an album. I mean, besides the fact that they were a great band, the Aerosmith in Boston had just released their first album. And Chris, not knowing this, he would call some venues and they'd say, "Oh yeah, we've heard of you." And he'd think, "You have?" So as high school is closing out, if I have my facts right, Chris is getting to write songs for the Vanguard Record Company in New York, but he's not living in New York. And I actually forgot to ask, I think you're from Avon, or you were in Avon at that time. Am I right about that, Chris?
Bay Village.
Bay Village, okay. Sorry about that. So he's in Bay Village, because I think if he was living in New York, I felt like his next chapter would have had to do with New York. But there's a great music town north of Nashville called Louisville, Kentucky. Him and his band decided to move there after high school. But one of the members' parents lived down in Louisville, and so that member was living with his parents while the rest of the band was trying to pay for apartments. And so here's Christopher working as a short order cook, which was really hard because he was 6'4". He's working at the Cape Codder Seafood Restaurant trying to make ends meet, and he's not living the life he thought that was going to happen in Louisville, so he decides to join the military. In his first 6 months, he goes from E1 to E4. During basic training, he has access to a guitar. He's quite an accomplished songwriter and guitar player at this point, and a major asked him to put music to a poem that he had written, and this is all taking place during basic training. So Christopher does. This gets him a lot of favor, including after a nighttime exercise. I believe it was called a night range. I might have that wrong, but the soldiers are learning to do activities at night and shoot at night and go on missions at night. Then they all have to walk however far back to, you know, the barracks, except for him. Now that everybody's half of the guys have pneumonia, he said, including him, because of the brutal weather and the rain and stuff like that. But all the other soldiers had to walk back. He got a military taxi, a warm shower. He got a pressed uniform, and then he got driven to a TV show where he played the song that he had written for the major. As the Vietnam draft ended, people weren't signing up for the military the way that they. Well, before that was the draft, so people weren't really signing up for the military. So Christopher, and also, you know, the views on the war have changed and are changing, and he becomes part of a traveling music show that's intended to send out young, fresh, hip cultured youth to attract more people to sign up, so he becomes a face of the Army, a representative. He's shaking hands with all the higher-ups, but then he's going out and connecting with the young, impressionable public and winning them over. But a problem arose because him, Christopher, like so many other people, had grown up seeing America as 100% good guys, heroes, John Wayne, the winners of World War II. He trusted the government, but now over time he's seeing some things that appear to not be true, including his length of service. He was initially asked to sign up for a longer commitment than normal, but he was told if you sign up for this longer commitment from normal, we're gonna let you out early. It's just a formality. Well, it turned out to not be true. And so he's got this, and there's other things going on, you know, parts of Christopher's story that I would let him tell to you and his thoughts and such. But he's got a dilemma because he's a face of a major representative of a military branch, but he's questioning the branch's word to him and the word to those he's recruiting into it. And the rest is his story to tell. But after the Army, Christopher has done many amazing things as far as music goes, and he's been friends with or in contact with a lot of the people that ran the industry in Northeast Ohio and beyond throughout the years. And so everything that I just read is basically from it seemed like 2 minutes, but it was 2 hours we sat there, and he told me all this, and he even gave me a chorus, and I was all ready to write the song, and I had the chorus that he came up with, which was bait and switch, hearts and minds, sign here on the dotted line, leave the fine print for some other time. And that was going to be the chorus. And then we went back upstairs, you know, just to play guitar and maybe see if, you know, he was going to help me start the song and such. And a whole other page, a packed page full of words came out about who he was. So now, instead of, you know, all these 6 or 7 pages I have of things he'd done, now I actually had who he was at the core. And I said, you know, that chorus, I think it's going to be a verse. And if that's not okay, I told him he can get his money back, and he could, in fact, I would pay him to write the song. So, all right. So this is called Song of Hope.